Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for us in this whole universe, in this whole world. And the center point of this whole universe, of this whole world, is the insan, the human being. From all creatures, from all of the makhluq, the creation of Allah, we, the human beings, are such a form of creation that no one can understand that how many planets there are in the world and the stars and how many heavens and skies and mountain ranges. Allahu alam, all of this is Allah's ilm, Allah Ta'ala's knowledge. There's so much creation, vast creation. Our minds and brains cannot imagine or think about the breadth and scope and expansion and the vastness of this dunya. And if we look at the whole universe, we are sat empty boxes. Afdal, ashraf al makhluqat. We are the markaz, the pivot point of the whole of the universe. And Allah says the whole dunya is there to serve mankind, human beings. And for human beings, Allah says, after creating everything for human beings, for mankind, just one order Allah has given, or one statement. Allah said, success or not success. Success or failure. That's our job. Pass or fail. That's it. Allah Ta'ala has said this in a shortcut way. If you pass, you will enjoy. You will come to me relaxed. If you fail, then there will be no worse off person than that individual who fails in the hereafter. And how long do we have to carry on this for? Allah Ta'ala has given us a very short period of time. Short period of time. Not a long period of time. Everyone's got a different phase, different period of time. Somebody has this much time, others have this much time. Not that everybody had the same amount of time, the same hisab, different periods of time, different lengths of time in the life. Allah Ta'ala says different types of thinking, different characters, different time lengths of the life. These are things to think about. We don't think, do we? All we know is that the child is born, azan's given the ears, and then the date, saliva is put, the thanic, and then he'll grow up and become this. And just like a bubble, it floats up. You know, the bubble. And it floats, it goes bigger, grows bigger, it grows bigger. Then suddenly, it pops and it disappears. So I was thinking that, look, the human being, this ajeeb point, unique point to think, that how much importance there's for importance for you, and you'll go home, they're waiting for you, he hasn't come, and we've cooked food, food's made. And why is the importance? The child, the son, the daughter, they're looking. If they're elderly, then the children are looking, the wife is looking, everyone's looking after you. How much importance there is for that person? And that, for example, a child is seeing everybody around him, and that person who's being waited, and people want him to come, except look how many friends I have who want to communicate with me. And they used to sit with me, they used to speak to me, do dhikr with me. 20, 30 years we sat and did dhikr together in gatherings, in majalis, here and there. Suddenly disappeared. Gone. And when that person's disappeared, then have we ever thought that where has that person gone? Just gone. Disappeared. Not with us, no word, no communication, no giving, taking, nothing, just gone. Disappeared. And all of his belongings are given in sadaqah. Sometimes the house is sold. Oh, if we see the house, we'll remember him. Let's quickly sell the house and the property. How quickly we forget those people we know. So look at my importance. For example, when I'm alive, it's as if without me, nothing can run and exist. And the people of the household, the family think that we cannot live without him. But as soon as you pass away, if the wife is young, then she'll look for another husband. And the husband, if he's young, he'll look for another wife. His jais is permissible, it's permissible. And everyone's thinking about jais and permissible to continue the life. So is this not a deception? What a big betrayal. The dunya, we give importance. No. That with such speed, this suffer, this journey is continuing. And with such speed, a few minutes ago we were doing something else. And now that time is gone. We don't even know where it's gone. Somebody eats, and then there was importance when he was eating. For example, there's not enough spices, there's no taste, I'm enjoying it, drinking Coke. Now you're sitting and you don't know, where has that food gone? Everything's gone, it's history. It's all in the past. Yes, so what a life that we're living. These are the facts Allah Ta'ala has presented to us and explained to us. The reality of life. But because in our brains, there's fact. Doesn't let us understand 2 plus 2 is 4. We don't know anything else. If you don't understand, that's our choice. Well, it says, I'll explain to you. If you don't understand, that's your choice. So within a few minutes, the wife, the husband, they don't know about their partners. Everyone had fikr. Within a few seconds, gone. The veil has dropped and nobody remembers anyone after they've gone. This is the system. This is the cycle of life. Not dhulam. It's not oppression. It's just the system. For example, as I said, the bubble, it gets bigger, 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 expands, and then it bursts and it's gone. In the same way, we will also disappear. But what do we do during the time that we're alive? Do we want to pass, prepare to pass, or prepare to fail? Or do we want to have problems here and problems there? Because the punishment in the hereafter is very severe. That will be the slippers and the punishment of fire here. For example, you're earning money and you're waking up in the night, driving taxi, working hard, lying, deceiving, committing fraud, betraying people, take your friends' money and consume people's money. Is this life? Is this life? So a person just in a short period of time in the world, and we waste it? No, this is not correct. We don't know what is the meaning of pass or fail. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in two short verses, Allah has summarized to us the story of life and the objective of life. So what we need to think is that do we want to pass or do we want to fail? This is our decision to make. And this is the asal, the people who come to tazkiyah, rectification, those who come towards improvement and reformation like me and you, we are on this journey. This is our objective so we can pass the test in the hereafter. What should we target? To pass the test. There's only one objective of coming. People think we come for dhikr. That we come to do dhikr. We don't come for dhikr. Dhikr is a majlis, a gathering. Allah has given reward. And those who come just to do dhikr, then they will not go beyond dhikr. They haven't come with the intention of pass or fail. That, for example, those who do dhikr and have no other objective, they don't have yaqeen in Allah and they sat in dhikr. And remembering Allah, I've seen people doing dhikr like this. They don't have yaqeen in Allah. They say, oh, there is no Allah. That Allah's decisions are wrong, astaghfirullah, and they're doing dhikr, criticizing. So if this was the objective of dhikr, then would that be the conclusion? No. So don't make this your objective of life, that dhikr is your objective. Now what should be the objective? That we need to be what? We need to pass the test. Why have we come here? So we can learn how to pass the test. That we're doing dhikr in this majlis, Allah gathers us, gives us the opportunity to do good, but this is not the objective, the end point. I've given the example, haven't I? Myself. The summer sat in our hearts, I don't know what sort of thoughts are coming and nonsense thoughts are coming and wasawis and whispering, etc. And somebody will have done fraud and rubbish actions before we come in, and after we go we'll continue. So what dhikr will that person do? What focus will that person have? If you don't have the objective of your life in front of you, then how can you succeed from that gathering? So our objective is, we want to pass. Allah Ta'ala has told us that how can you pass? And how will you fail if you don't succeed? So these messages of the Quran are for those who are serious. Fir'aun was not serious, was he? Abu Jahl, was he serious? They weren't serious. He used to speak nonsense and he departed this world. Yes. And miracles, he said, I want to see miracles. They were shown to him. No, do this. Oh, let the stone speak in your hand. Everything he saw, but he didn't want to understand. Oh, tell me that if you can split this moon into two. Oh, look, now here's two parts of the moon. No, this is magic. So this is our hal today as well, isn't it? This is our hal, our condition. That go to the sheikh, you'll be fine. Go to another individual. If you don't desire, then how will the sheikh improve you if you don't desire? Yes, that even Mahdi alayhi salam, when he comes, he will not be able to do anything. If you don't desire to be good, then go with the Dajjal. Why are you with me? Yes, that's what will be said. Because even that, the greatest personality can only... Imam al-Anbiya, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, corrected and reformed those who had the desire. Abu Jahl, he didn't need miracles to believe. Did Abu Bakr Siddiq ask for miracles? But he wanted to pass. So today, make this a strong lesson. Is this understood? You understand that? What do we want to do? We want to pass the test. Shabash, mashallah. Let's go now. So how can we pass? Let's understand the Quran now. Why, Mulana Sahib? Will the Quran tell us? I can't tell you, can I, how to pass the Quran? So Allah said in two words, because the Qur'an, not every man can be an alim. Can he? Not every man can be an alim or a muhaddith or that. So Allah Ta'ala says that everyone, even a jahil, a pendu from the village who is illiterate, and all he says that roti is boti. Yes? He doesn't know how to speak or write. He doesn't even know the name of the dishes, what he's eating. And for example, they eat food, they have chapati and the ginger and the garlic and onions. But even those, if they understand the message, they'll become the flowers of Jannah. Allah has not differentiated. Allah says, if you understand my message, it doesn't matter what you are, how literate you are or illiterate you are, the greatest walis of Allah, Haji Sahib, Darvesh would come to him and they were surprised that subhanAllah, that what a maqam in Jannah he'll be. And those people who used to come to him didn't know anything. One person used to come, a student, and he was seen in the gathering. He came straight. He didn't speak to anybody. And did he come on a donkey, or he tied up his animal? You know, the donkey, they come from the wilderness, from the village area, small horse or mule. And sometimes I'd enjoy when you'd sit on that. We used to play games of that. So what happened? He tied up his donkey. Straight he'd come, subhanAllah, with adab manners. And he'd bring something from the wilderness as a gift for Hazrat Sahib. Yes? Yes, he'd bring like a basket, or in the basket he'd have some milk or a bit of butter. He'd bring it, put it in front of Hazrat Sahib, to the side. The gathering's there, everyone sat there. And then he'd sit to the side, he didn't speak to anything to anyone. Then suddenly he'd disappear after the gathering. His dhikr, how it was focused, and all his lataif, he'd push them to the limit. And he would, if he was alive, mashallah, imagine, he was weak at that time. He was daif. And probably he's listening, Jannah, now, oh, he used to see me in the gathering there, sat there. SubhanAllah. We were newcomers and used to see, what does he do? And he'd sit in the gathering and he'd do, with sincerity, he's pulling on the fares of the sheikh. And the sheikh's not even looking at his student. So this is the tawajjuh, because tawajjuh pulls on the student. And the gathering's big. But the student who wants to pull from the fares of the sheikh, he pulls. And he can attain that fares from miles away. Here there's a gathering, those who are in London or Manchester or in Burnley or Bradford or mashallah in Medina, who are in Jeddah or in Riyadh, subhanAllah. And they'll be in Africa or in Zimbabwe. Everyone's trying at this moment in time, alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala's doors are open. Because this is not my father's dhikr, is it? This is not my father's dhikr. Allah wants to deliver the fares to everyone. So the amount of people, the individuals who are sat with the niyyah that Allah, we are in this majlis, Allah pass us, Allah's fares will come to those people, to those individuals. Doesn't matter how far away you are, they'll fill up their baskets, the women and the men, and they'll fill up their baskets full. So this is the tariqah that Allah Ta'ala has made. This is not our system, my system, your system, that if you come, if you buy a ticket, you can go on the airplane, get a visa. No, no. Allah says, every man, I want him to succeed, become successful. Become successful. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you? You understand? Can you hear what I'm saying? Yes. So now, Allah Ta'ala has summarized the message to make it easy for us. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَن زَكَّهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَن دَسَّهَا. Allah told us such a small verse. Every child knows this verse. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. But we have not paid attention to this verse. Yes, the whole life we have traveled through the journey of life and we've not concentrated on this verse. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Allah Ta'ala says, the success, I will tell you the path to success. Don't keep speaking rubbish in your life. I'll get success from here. I'll get success from this action. Jannah from this action. There are many different actions you can do. But there's one path that will give you success. Everything else is reliant on this. Everything else is the means. The gatherings of dhikr, reciting Quran, becoming an alim, doing this, and to read hadith. These are all the means. What are they? They are the sources, the means. But they can't give you the end point. Say subhanAllah. See the words of the fakir, listen with attention. We stop it. Read Quran and you'll pass. No. Read this, do dhikr will pass. No. That if you read this or become an alim, you'll pass the test of life. These are all asbab, resources and means to get to the end. You can make the motorway beautiful, put big signs on the motorway, buy a big car and drive it. If you don't know the destination, then where will you go to? Say subhanAllah. SubhanAllah, where will we go? Yes. We say, oh, where are you going? Oh, I don't know where I'm going. I'm on the motorway. I've got a nice car. I'm going somewhere, but I don't know where I'm going. SubhanAllah. I've got to go somewhere, but I don't know where I'm going. I'm just driving along. And look at my car. It's nice. It's a Mercedes. I've got a good motorway. But I don't know where to go. then he'll never get to the destination. Subhanallah. But if somebody's got a Skoda, small car, yeah, 15, 20 years old, and he's driving that car, and he's put petrol in the car, and he sat there with pure intention, he knows I've got to go to Birmingham, then within half an hour, 2 hours, he will reach to his destination, and be drinking tea at his destination. And the person with the Merc, he's left behind. So these asbab that we run with, what's in this? Oh, I want this. Oh, yeah, big noise and titles and clamor. Allah says, this is not success. This is not the way to get to success. Rather, one thing Allah Ta'ala says, قَدَ فْلَحَ مَن زَكَّاهَا وَقَدَ خَابَ مَن دَسَّهَا. What is that will give us success? Allah says, what will give you success? Allahu Akbar. And failure? Allahu Akbar says, success is really attained by him who purifies it. What? Nafs. Salah behind, fasting behind, Hajj behind, Quran behind. What will give us success? The nafs will give us success. قَدَ فْلَحَ مَن زَكَّاهَا. Allah Ta'ala says that if you have purified it, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَن زَكَّاهَا. Allah, success is really attained by him who purifies. Allah says success first. The good news is given first. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. Allah is Kareem. He's given the word success first. Allah says you passed. Yes? What does it mean? أَفْلَحَ. The pious predecessors have stated, it's not a cloth you have to wash, you have to put soap on it and clean it. زَكَّاهَ. When Allah says success is attained by him, who does what? Purifies it. You're not going to wash the nafs. You have to control the nafs, the desires. He's made you a human being. Yes? You know, like a remote system. Whoever's controlled that nafs, brought it into his own control, Allah says that person successful. Yes? The base desires, whoever controls them, is successful. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَاهَا. And if a person hasn't managed to control his desires, his nafs, and his nafs has been a loose cannon, yes, loose cannon in the wilderness, then what is the consequence for that person? He didn't control his desires, base desires. He's not just unsuccessful, Allah says, but that person, and failure is really suffered by him who's polluted his nafs. He's wasted his desires, rubbed it in the dirt. Allah says total destruction for that person. Failure. And the person who's controlled his desires, how successful is he? Allah Ta'ala has stated, subhanAllah, how successful is that person? His success is stated that in the dunya, in the world, subhanAllah, what a beautiful confirmation that in this life, whilst the person's alive, his qalb and ruh, they will benefit from the tajalliyat ilahi and will be immersed in the tajalliyat ilahi, in the benefit of Allah. And these are the awliya Allah, because it's stated that go to the awliya Allah with the focus and care and caution, because they see with the vision of basira, from the depth of the vision of their hearts. Allah says, وَقَلْبِ نُورًا وَسَمِي نُورًا. Everything of theirs, tajalli nuran, adam bi nuran. Ya Allah, Noor ala noor, make me full of light and purity. So what is that noor? Everything, my body, my flesh, my hairs, everything Allah, my life, inside, outside, external, internal, everything Allah, please improve it to the state so that I have got noor and I'm enlightened, so I could be a sarapa noor, top to toe noor. Allahu Akbar. He stated his qalb and his heart and his ruh, that person who's controlled his desires, who has suppressed his desires, then his qalb and his body becomes a reflection, absorbs the tajalliyat-e-noor, and everything of his life in the world is a benefit. Allah says, I won't show you here the benefit. That any wali of Allah, you cannot see his noor, his full effect. Until today, have you ever seen the full effect of the walis of Allah? The great walis of Allah, we've heard their names, but we can't see the noor. Can we? The benefit. So noor, Allah Ta'ala says that this noor that surrounds and within the wali of Allah, this reward for the wali of Allah, they cannot see. The people, the common people in the world, they cannot see it. Allah says, yes, I will show it, say subhanAllah. At which time? At that time I will demonstrate this. When people will see that person's noor, they'll shriek and scream at, huh? This person? Are they prophets? Are they shuhada? Are they people who attained shahadat? Who are these people? Allah said, these are those who did tazkiyah. These are those people who did tazkiyah, who purified their desires. And then their nur will be apparent, and they will shine and sparkle on the plain of Hashr, and they will come out of their graves illuminated. So me and you, us, we will be in loss. We didn't understand the objective of life, my friends. Imagine that so many people, hundreds of thousands, are dying in this state of ignorance and departing this world. So we should be grateful Allah is explaining this to us. From today, let's change our track, our direction, shall we? Yes, we should. Allah's not going to attain any loss if we don't take heed and change direction for the better. We need to improve and get away from loss. Because if the nafs has destroyed us, if we didn't control our nafs, man zakkaha, Allah says, what is this? Then that person's failed. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَى. How will that person be rubbed in the dirt? Allah says, I cannot even give you the comparative example of an animal. Even the animals will look better than those people in the hereafter. And even in the world. Yes, even the animals will run away from that person who has succumbed to his desires. That person who has destroyed his nafs and desires, the animals will run away from that person. And in the dunya, Allah says, he will not see the nur. Allah says, I won't show. The people say, oh, come Mia Sahib, come Chaudhry Sahib. Please, Minister Sahib is coming. This rich man is coming. He's got wealth and money and dough. Because you cannot see his failure. But moreover than seeing that person's failure, for the mu'min, the Quran has explained to us, that's enough for us to have yaqeen. We don't need to see his face that is spoiled, etc. A person like this, straight to understand, may Allah Ta'ala forgive, don't go close to this person, close to this person. The Quran is telling us this. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَى. Then the person who did not control his desires, then failure suffered by him who's polluted his desires. And in which way is that person departing this world? Even the mirror will not tell him that he's ugly or he's wrong or a bandit. The mirror will say, you're beautiful and your beard looks good and it's today's Jummah and guests are coming, look like this, you look nice. Even the mirror will tell that person you look nice. It will lie in front of him. Because Allah Ta'ala will keep that person hidden, his destruction hidden. And as soon as he dies, oof Allah, then his ugly, ugly form and image will come out like dogs and swine and ajeeb, horrible. And his face will be of some animal, his stomach from another animal, and he'll be worse, much worse than the most ugliest of animals. So what is this due to, my brothers? Two things Allah Ta'ala said, I've presented to you. Two choices, and it's your life now. If you want to pass those men and women, they want to be right, then do this. And if you're going to want to fail, then follow this track of life, this direction, straightforward guidance. Now how can I say, oh, Allah's made me like this, this was in my destiny, I was to be a sinful, etc. This is that person who worships his desires and is jahil, ignorant. What is the Quran telling us this? No. Here, the Quran has given us two options. So we have to answer those two options and select one of them. So the question arises. The question arises, Ashkal, that Allah Ta'ala, that you have said that there are two options. How will we realize, how do I know that, how can I realize, how do I know how to control my desires? How do I come into that group of past? Allah gives the answer, Allah says, I'm Khaliq. Then there's, your nafs is one thing, your desires. Yes, your nafs, your desires, it is one factor. And Allah Ta'ala says it's one, but I've put khair and shar, good and evil and bad, into that same one pot. So your nafs, it can absorb good and shar and bad. Both things are there. So it's your choice. You can bring the good to the top and put shar down. But if you want to bring shar to the top, you'll put good down. What's this? Not my fault. Allah made me like this. It's difficult. I can't practice. I can't be good. Is it? Allah Ta'ala said, I give you both opportunities and selection criteria. Allah says, I've given you total freedom of will, choice. I've given you the control in your hand. Either you go towards shar or you go towards khair. Yes. And thirdly, beautiful point, Allah said, I'll make it even more easier for you, that for both of these to control the good and bad, Allah says, I'll give you a great tool to control yourself. Don't say, Allah, I didn't have any tools to control myself, to do more good and less bad. I didn't have any assistance. Allah said, I give you your nafs that you'll be tested upon. In that nafs, there's good and bad. The good and bad opposites that attract you. So how will you bring good to the top and put bad lower down and suppress it? Then Allah, how can I differentiate? Allah says, I've given you the measurement gauge, which is Shariati Ilahi. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala's principles and rules. What does Allah give to us? Shariati
ilahi. Allah has given this, that you can utilize this measurement gauge of Sharia to differentiate between good and bad. You don't understand what I'm saying? Okay, let me explain a bit more in depth. How can we recognize our desires? And whether the nafs is inviting towards good or bad. Now nafs, when inside a person there's a desire that arises in anything in the world, business, home, outside, wife, children, any desire that forms. We have to live our lives in this world, isn't it? We all have desires and things we want. We want to drive cars or etc. Everything. All these desires. I want a big car or a small car or a house. I'll buy one or not. Shall I work or not? Get married, etc. These are all desires. Yes, all part of life. And from here we have to proceed. Now, if our desires that are within us, if they are desires that are coming into ourselves and are forcing us to fulfill this desire of mine, what does it do from within? It's forcing you to fulfill it, the desire. How? If it says that break Shariat Ilahi and fulfill this desire, in other words, our base desires are inviting us to do an action. If the nafs is saying, fulfill my desire whilst breaking Allah Sharia, then that's called the nafs, where the nafs is overwhelming the person. So the insan, I give you the example of society. There are youth, youngsters sitting here. That if you are attracted to a girl or a female, you do, isn't it? You have to get married, you go to university, you go here, left, right, center, and outside shopping, and you're attracted to a girl or a female. Then what happens? That girl, that female you prefer, and the girl likes the boy likes the girl. Further, both have desires which multiply and increase. Now, if the completion of these desires, if the conclusion of that love between the boy and the girl after they see each other, if the conclusion of that love is done via the ruh of the Sharia, via the law of the Sharia, then that will become the pleasure of Allah. Yes, you'll say, I am attracted, speak to my parents. If the boy says, send your parents to my house, or the girl says to the boy, send your parents to my house, and then the announcement's made on Jummah, there's a nikah, and then the mahar, the dowry will be apportioned, and the life will become what? The life that is preferred and by Allah, and that's the control of us. The boy doesn't touch her and says, I like her. Or the girl likes the boy, and then they mutually progress down the journey of following the laws and the principles of Allah to fulfill their desires. Okay? And then the other side of it is that, oh, forget that. I'm not going down that long journey and make her my girlfriend. And the girlfriend says, make them my boyfriend. Oh, and he wants to make her the wife according to his nafs. And she says, oh, what difference does it make? Oh, we don't need to get married. And this is called worshipping the desires. And we can use this in any example, this law. You're working, business, you have to take money, give money. Whatever you have to do, if it's within the circle of Sharia, if we're doing as according to the Sharia, then what will that be? What will that be for us? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَى. If we're doing everything in our life, all the phases of life according to Sharia, then we're following the principles of Sharia and we're not following our desires. But wherever we worship our desires in opposition to Sharia, breaking the principles of Sharia, then that becomes worshipping the nafs, not suppressing the nafs. If you're thirsty for water, thirsty, and you want to quench your thirst quickly, you see, look left and right, oh, it's okay, I'll stand and drink water. So who am I listening to? The nafs. Did Allah give you the strength, the freedom of choice of will? Yes, so you've got the strength to sit down. You can't say, oh, Allah didn't allow me to, or it was in my destiny. Allah's given you total freedom. That if you get up in the night and start sinning, do impure actions and worship your shahawat and lusts. Yes, but everyone's got that choice, selection. The biggest Sufi, whatever he is, inside he'll have both things enraging. I'll tell you, don't think that the walis of Allah, that their nafs is totally annihilated. There are such examples that sheikhs from high maqams, they drop to the lowest of levels. They drop. That in the world they're famous, they become great walis of Allah. But it took a jolt of the nafs worship and they dropped to the ground, and end of story. They weren't anymore. On the examples like this, there are examples present. So to understand this, he's a wali Allah, he doesn't have to struggle, work hard, and to come in front of the woman, he's a wali Allah, he's like my father. No one is nobody's father relative. The laws Allah Ta'ala has made is for everyone. No woman can go in front of a ghair mahram man. No man can go in front of a ghair mahram woman. Doesn't matter how big a peer is. But this is the hukum of the Sharia. Because you are living the life of the test. And you are continually in a test. Until death. and the nafs is alive, it's working, it's trying to influence you. Doesn't matter how big a muttaki you are, you do it by the all night long, pray tahajjud, read tahajjud all night long. And then suddenly a jolt comes of a beautiful woman and the tahajjud will be suppressed there and then. Oh, she's a nice, I'm attracted. And Hazrat Sahib goes to the back of the queue then, doesn't he? So this is the game of life that we need to play carefully, tactfully, Allahu Akbar. So wahid, the thing that can control the nafs is shariate ilahi, shariate muhammadi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sunnate sharia sharifa, the sharia and the tariqa, the method of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever accepts this, embraces this, for every action, every decision of the person's life is that whatever sharia tells us we will do, whatever sharia tells us we will do, even if we get less than what we want or whatever, even if I get soil or dust as a result, but I'm not going to take steps against sharia, nor eat, nor drink, nor run a business, nor go home, nor promote relationships against the sharia, or we'll live a life of some other principles and rules. So it's easy to say that we want to go to Jannah, or I'll just prostrate four times and I'll get the hoor and I'll pray this many juz, oh the hoor is looking at me, come quickly. Is this the way? Subhanallah. Is this the method? Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is the methodology, قَدَ فْلَحْمَا زَكَاهَا, the most important point that we have to understand in life. What we need to control, Allahu Akbar, and the successful person, Allah calls them muhsineen, Allahu Akbar. Muhsin, Allah has used the word, those people who do tazkiyah, who control their nafs, alhamdulillah. They are the muhsineen. Ajeeb verse coming in my mind. لَمَّا يَشَعُونَ إِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. What a beautiful ayah of the Quran. ذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, Allah Ta'ala says. Ajeeb point Allah Ta'ala has made. لَهُمْ. Who is Allah Ta'ala ushering towards? Those people who have annihilated their nafs, who have stamped on their desires. Hazrat Bayezid, Junaid Baghdadi, went into the jungle, to the forest. All the awliya, the walis of Allah who we know and those we don't know, those who are in the world, who are even here now, alhamdulillah. Thousands of them. They have wahid, one function. The most fikr, the worry they have is what? Is for their nafs, their desires. In that fikr, in that worry, they don't want to worship their desires. Even the things that are halal for them, they say this is haram and awful, that I don't want to fall into the trap of my desires. And they leave things that are even permissible. As the Junaid Baghdadi Ramdai said, that I did so much mujahidah, worked hard, Sayyidu Taifa, to control my desires. He said, my nafs wasn't coming into control. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. And don't sit there happy. If you want to sit here for Jannah, then do mehnat, work hard, my sons. Oh, Sufiyo. That this is not a majlis of drama. Pat him on the back. Oh, you're good, you're good. You've passed. You're guaranteed. Here we speak the truth from the Quran. Subhanallah. And a person loses the sight of that he's passed the test. Everything, water and milk is differentiated in the gathering that we sit in. So he stated, as a Junaid Baghdadi Ramdai, that all my life long I did mujahidah to control my nafs. I went out into the jungle. 30, 40 years I wandered in the world to control myself, improve myself. And this is the mujahidah they did. Why did they go to jungles? Were they mad? No, there were reasons that in the dunya their nafs pestered them. So they left to go into the jungle. That, oh, at least we'll be saved from the nafs before death. And this was jais from the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so they left and lived a life of isolation. Subhanallah. So he said that I got the clue. Subhanallah. He said I got the clue how to control my desires. He said I got the clue that wahid, there's one method to control the desires, and that is sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. He said that I swore to myself that I will never do any action which is against the sunnah. He said, that's how my nafs was controlled and corrected. Alhamdulillah. That every second I was enjoying the controlling of the desires. So this is the fikr he had, the worry he had for controlling his desires. This is how hard we have to work. And Allah has given the rule. Lahum, Allah is saying, lahum. Lahum ma yashauna. Subhanallah. Allah is saying, these people, when they will come to ma yashauna, that whatever you desire, Allah Ta'ala says, today you desire, Allah is saying, ma yasha'una. Allah says, today is your desire in the Rabbihim. And with your Rabb, there's nothing That is, Allah Ta'ala says that you will ask for and that your Rabb will not give to you. There's nothing under the sun that you can ask for and that your Rabb will not give to you. Allah says, I will give to you if you control your desires, suppress your desires, come with all your requests. And whilst you were alive in the world, then Allah says, you followed my desire. And now when you pass in the world and come to me, then your desire will be implemented. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. What a difference. So why are we alive here? We are following our desires, aren't we? We put all of Allah's desires behind us. But this is the opposite way. That we say, no, I want to follow my desires and do what I feel like. We break the laws of Allah and carry out actions in the world. We reject Shariat and do what we feel like doing. Allah says, but no, you should do in this world, planet Earth, what I desire. And after some time, Allah says, you'll pass away and come to me. Then whatever you desire will occur in the Rabbim. And your Rabb is not lacking in anything that he will distribute and meet out. Ask from me, Allah says. Yes, you left a woman. Tell me, Allah says, how many women do you want? Allahu Akbar. Yes, that those people who gave up their desires in the world, even the person who's not seen, he has no dirt on his body. Allahu Akbar. The hoors who have no dirt, no impurity, not one, not two, not three, not four. Allah says, unlimited. Why? Because in the world, whenever a woman would pass by you, then with this fear that I don't want my nafs to overwhelm me. And in the young age, Allah says, I sent you to such a country as a test. Say, Subhanallah. To such a country I sent you, a woman, that you used to within your parda look at the man, oh, he's gone, or he's come. In niqab, you see, Allah says, I am khabir masir, I can see, I know every person's in a test. Even the women folk, they look at the men. Allah says, when I give you hukam to the women and the men, that when you see the opposite sex in front of you, then lower your gaze. Allah, but don't raise your gaze. I want Naqshbandi say this. That lower your gaze, every footstep, always your gaze, your eyes should be looking down whilst you're outside in the street walking or moving, traveling. That a person, he's passed away before he's even passed away. He doesn't like any enjoyment of the dunya. He's crushed his desire. He doesn't want to look around and look at everything, everybody around him. He's just looking down. The great sheikhs, the examples. He said, 15 years that I would go to drop him somewhere and he didn't even know my name. He hadn't even seen my face. He would not look around him. What's going on around him? So do you understand the point of today? This is our destination that the Quran is telling us, my brothers, Muslims, and this is our destination that we have to attain. So no, I've got married and now the proposals come, I'm free now, end of story, and we live our life on going after that. No. So this is it. This is about our way of thinking and our striving. Those who've made dreams based on their desires, carry on making your dreams. See how many jannahs are made for you every day, how much we waste time and people push you from behind. Yeah, this has come to you, this is yours, this is just worshipping the desires. A person himself recognizes and knows that how am I living my life, on which basis, what wrong actions am I doing? I've got choice. If I don't want to, I won't do this. But no, Allah's making me do this. This is my course of life. Allah chose this destiny for me. No, imagine this. A person's got total power and ability to mold his life. And Allah is happy if we do it in the right way. What is that? Allah Ta'ala says, Allah's Nabi says, some sunnah, if it comes in front of you, then don't practice against the sunnah of Rasulullah. This is wrong, I can't do this. And become afraid in front of your nafs. Fight your nafs. Clash with nafs. And for that clash, then the asbab the person uses, the means. For example, when there's a clash, when there's a battle between people or a fight, a person will use his fist, and people have, unfortunately, weapons nowadays, they use tools and resources. Allah says that when you're fighting your nafs now, you should also use the tools. What's the tool? The dhikr of Allah. And the verse of the Quran, that when the nafs overwhelms a person, then suddenly they start to do the dhikr of Allah, and then their eyes open wide to reality. Isn't this verse there, Qari Sahib? Recite the verse, then I'll enjoy it. Does anyone remember it? Nobody remembers it? That when such a situation arises, then they suddenly start doing dhikr of Allah, and the dhikr of Allah opens their eyes that this was nafs. So this is the sabab Allah Ta'ala has given, the dhikr of Allah, that we should utilize the method of dhikr at that time when the nafs is overpowering us, make us do bad, oh, do sins, etc. Oh, let's go to the toilet and come out quickly. You know, people do this, they follow the desires. Oh, it's alright, I don't need to clean myself, or enjoy yourself, take shortcuts. Straight away start doing the dhikr of Allah when you feel weak. Yes, this tasbih I've given to you for this reason. Straight away, Allah, 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 Allah. Alhamdulillah, you do 10 tasbihs, your eyes will open wide that I'm about to do wrong. Yes, and the reality and understanding will come. Nafs is inviting, oh come, let's look at this program today. We're free, there's nobody to see us. And just put your hand over your bed and you try to hide, someone's watching pornography or tonography or this. After leaving such a great gathering, someone's doing these actions because shaitan's made everything permissible for us. Straight away a person, what should he do? Put tasbih in his pocket nowadays. This is the generation we're living in. Because there could be a fight at any time. You sat in the taxi, in your car, men and women should always have the tasbihs that I've given you, the recitation, the prayers, and take it out and beat it. Tak-tak-tak with the beads, 10,000. Within 10 minutes, subhanAllah. And send the thawab, all of this to your sheikh. Ithali thawab, say subhanAllah. And you will not go empty-handed. Then the affairs of your sheikh will come to you. Then his assistance will come. SubhanAllah. And this is the silsila. The series, the order, that the affairs of the sheikh. I was at some place and I was about to do this sin. Once I was doing this sin, suddenly what did I see? That I suddenly saw the face of my sheikh. And I stopped doing that sin. And this is called the affairs of the sheikh. He's not hazir, nazir, the sheikh. What it is, the connection, the nisbat, Allah Ta'ala makes it strong. That he remembers his shaykh when he's about to do a sin. Within a tajalli he can see just the anwar that Allah has kept aside. Allah has kept it as the image, the face of the shaykh. Otherwise the real tajalli is Allah. But who can see Allah? No one. Nobody can see this. So Allah Ta'ala sends the human being, the shaykh, as the guidance in his beauty and image. Allah Ta'ala makes the nur, and as soon as the person sees the appearance of his shaykh, he slows down in his sin. For example, you're sinning, if your shaykh's with you, oh no, and you'll sit down, you won't sin. So what is this? This is that same fares that Allah Ta'ala is delivering via the shaykh. And the person who doesn't have this modesty, haya, doesn't have the shame, then that person has not got iman. And he's that person like in front of Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl was stood in front of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he was immodest. No haya. That after seeing your shaykh and you don't leave the sin, rather openly runs more after the sin. Oh, I'm forced to do this. I can't help it. What can I do? I have to do this. He did this, that person did this, so I'm doing this. That person is behaya, has no modesty. He has left the pedestal of haya, that even the shame attached to his shaykh, the wali of Allah, has gone. That forget about the haya and the shame of the wali Allah, he has lost the shame when in front of the Holy Prophet and in front of Allah. This is the proof that the shaykh, subhanAllah, he gives the fares to the student who is sincere. But the student who is sinful, openly, he rejects, then he is not the sincere, devout student. Yes, so the path is itiqad, to believe in the shaykh. You have to believe that this person is my shaykh, he's teaching me. And will he commit a sin in front of him? Will he do those actions that the shaykh dislikes? No. You want number two? He should have adab, extreme adab and comportment for the teacher, for the shaykh. Did any sahabi, did they dare to have be'adabi and disrespect in front of Rasulullah? And the third connection is muhabbat, love. Love. So belief and subhanAllah, love for the shaykh. Yes. You understand what I'm saying? And adab, these three things. So those students who don't have these three connections with the shaykh, then he's immodest and he'll sin, he has no haya. That even if you come in front, the tajalli comes, but he doesn't have these three connections. Those who have haya, Allah Ta'ala sends that tajalli, the reminder of the shaykh, that comes in the dream or in front of that person. To this extent I've heard, that person's intending to go and commit a sin, and he stood in front of the mirror, then the shaykh's face comes in the mirror. And he starts to tremble. Oh, Hazrat, Allah Ta'ala is giving me a reminder. I'm telling you the truth. Big maqamat, sheikhs had these feelings. And he wrote to Hazrat Tanwi, Hazrat, today I was in Malfuzat. Hazrat Sahib wrote, I was about to do a sin. Hazrat, you came. He said, it wasn't me. Allah Ta'ala sent assistance to you. And because, honest, your link is truth. Otherwise you would have deviated along the way. Those who don't have honest connection, who speak nonsense, they continue to sin flagrantly. They don't have a desire, they want to correct their nafs or get progression, etc. The sadiq person, every day his life is a new lease of life, an improvement. You don't have to remind them, run after them, because they've got haya and shame. I'm sending a sheet to my shaykh. How can I deliver this sheet without performance? What will my shaykh say? I'm committing sin. Yes? Oh? No, we keep putting the cross. Ah, it's okay, I'm doing dhikr anyway, I say in dhikr, but I've got a sin, I can't help it. This is what we say. No excuse. So to cut it short now, so what's the summary of our discussion today? What's the summary? That our life has two options, success or failure, pass or fail. And for this, what do we need to do? What's the differentiating point? The test of the nafs, the debased desires. And to control the desires, what do we do? What do? We have to observe our life according to the Sharia. Very systematic, isn't it? Systemic. Yes, every decision is based on a system. No foot Should we tread in this world, and should we move in this world without the assistance and guidance of Shibir? And this is why always we have to clash against and ask the questions against the nafs. And to succeed in this, we have to do dhikr of Allah to stay alert and awake. Yes, for example, if you don't have a shaykh, you're not bayah with a shaykh, then where will dhikr come from in your life? Then shaitan will run after you all the time. Do this or do this. Do what you feel like. Or today, sleep 2 hours more. Or pray salah here somewhere. Or forget about praying salah today, I'll do this. So that person has no guidance. Yes, because he has no guidance. No path. So think yourselves now. Do tajziyah, analysis, self-analysis. Allah Ta'ala said that give yourself feedback. That those who follow the path of tazkiyah nafs, what is the maqam? Their root, their spirit and qalb and heart is enlightened with the jaliyati ilahi. And those people who worship their desires, fulfill the request of their desires, they are destroyed, Allahu Akbar, that even the animals run away from those people. So brothers, I say with forgiveness, that let's now look at the situation of our society. Start from Pakistan, the Muslims of India, it's not even a Muslim country, we cannot complain to them. The Pakistan, Pak, the word that was made in the name of Islam, after hundreds of thousands of people died making this country. Look at this country now. How many adhans? What is the work of the deen? The Mulanas are doing. What deen is spreading? Sufis, what are they doing? What are the Khankas doing? And the Amil, the magicians, the sorcerers, are they take money from people? I'll do dumb for you, I'll do this to you, and this will happen. And Dajjal, big Dajjals are there. Tell me the truth now. Analysis of our lands. The percentage of people who are sincere and correct. Yes? From this analysis you will see, tell me that how many people are going to Jannah at this moment in time. Or the Quran will tell us the result of this question. So just think about it. Very, very serious matter we need to think about. Yes? All Islamic countries in the world, take them. And then when we speak, oh no, come to Fajr, recite long Fajr Salah, recite Dua'i Qunut. We just blame everything and put everything on Dua'i Qunut. You're not taking what I'm saying badly, are you? No, because here there's a long recite Dua Qunut. Forget this Dua Qunut as a solution. We think this is a solution? Why should we pray Dua Qunut? Dua Qunut is for those people, alhamdulillah, who deserve the effect of Dua Qunut, who deserve the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the assistance. This is all a mirage and joke. Life that people are living. Look at our societies, our libas, our attire, our faces, our homes, our outside, our children. I'm talking about Islamic countries. The reality is better than that is here, where we are. If here you want to practice them with ease, you can practice the deen. With ease. It's not the case. And there, show me, put your imam on, show me if you can do that. In our country, you can't even leave your home. Oh, hey, are you mad? Why are you wearing imam? But here, nobody says anything to you. Nobody. Nobody will say anything to you. They won't even blink an eye. So here you can practice your deen even better. I'll tell you the truth. Rather than you go to those countries, Islamic countries, big masjids and drama, big buildings, madaris, and that nothing is this, all a drama. The result is what we need to look at. One is big factory and there's protection and look, show the stock. There's no stock in the factory, no manufacturing, no products coming out, nothing. You'll say, what kind of factory is this? It's hollow. So the names are big Islamic countries, but the material, what's coming out of there? What's being churned out? What's being churned out? Yes. Oh, this material is coming out, mashallah. So my brothers, if a few of us have sat down in the dhikr of Allah, then my request is, first I need to speak to myself. Let me recognize my destination. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't fall into this trap of dhikr and imamas, etc. What do we have to do to ourselves? Tazkiyah nafs. Rectification of the desires. And how do we do rectification of the desires? If we live a life in conformity with Shariat ilahi. If Sharia says haram, then curse that business. If the Sharia says that this is wrong, then send curse on the action. Because if not today, then not tomorrow. If not tomorrow after dying, then your appearance will be of the dogs and the cats. There was a great wali of Allah. He was telling me something and I'm sharing this with you today. He said that those people who say bad to the walis of Allah, or they criticize the wali of Allah, or they backbite against the wali of Allah. There are people like this who backbite, say bad to wali Allah, and criticize him, mock him, jeer at him, keep enmity with him. Then he stated, Allah Ta'ala has announced to those people, that be ready for battle with me, to fight with me. So in reality, this wali of Allah was saying, what happens then at that time, is that when that person dies, that during death his face changes at that time, and his face becomes the face of an animal. Allah makes this, Allah says, he said, the shaykh said, I've seen these things with kashf. I've seen this. Allahu Akbar. Allah loves his wali so much, because Allah says, I've sent my walis to the world to correct the human beings. So I love my friends. I've sent the walis to the world to, so that walis can connect the human beings to Allah. And we disrespect them, mock them, jeer them, and see today our qawm, what is their hal. So my brothers, we need to look after our desires. Let's make this lesson robust today, that in our lives give priority to Allah's law. If something's haram, it's haram. The whole world is stood and saying it's halal, you say no, it's haram. If Allah says it's correct, it's correct. Whatever the law of Sharia comes, whatever law is coming from Allah, from Rasulullah, then tie a knot on it and accept it. There can be no loss in it whatsoever. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you, all of us, the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.